Hey, what's up, Matt? It's been a minute.
You know what I realized? Matt's not with us this week. He's off exploring mountains. I think this is the first movie walkthrough you and I are doing together.
Oh, shit. That means it's a train wreck for sure.
Because we did Phantasm, but we did that with James over at Toothbrain. And then we did a bunch of interviews. And then you did some episodes with Matt, Scream, Night of the Demons. I feel like there's another one in there somewhere.
No, well, I mean, James unfortunately wasn't able to make Phantasm. That was a threesome. Shit.
Then what was I thinking about? Okay, so Matt was there then.
He was there in spirit. Let me just say, he was definitely missed.
Damn. Matt was there for Phantasm. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So yeah, we... The tequila's already kicking in. We have not...
Welcome back.
Yeah. We got to get him back on because I know he was super bummed missing Phantasm because it was his pick, essentially. And then here we are, dude.
So yeah, dude, it's about time.
So what's up?
I don't know. What's up with you?
Dude, all right. One thing I wanted to do, I'll tell you what's up. I went to Frank and Sons a couple weeks ago. And
oh, I missed that there.
Oh, dude, it was fucking awesome. I went though because they had some special guests there. They had
this is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre like anniversary gathering or something. You always get caught up in the coolest shit.
But yeah, it was a good time. So Brett Wagner was there. He played Leatherface in the 2003 version of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Then Mark Burnham was there, who also played Leatherface in the most recent rendition, the 2022 Netflix one that came out. And then Bob Elmore was there, who played Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 from 1986, which is the one with Bill Moseley, Chop Top. So I went there to get like pictures, autographs, the whole nine. If you follow us on Instagram, then you've probably already seen all the pictures. But I also did some walking around and I found some cool shit. And there's this one guy, he sells like collectibles, not collectible. Well, the whole fucking place is collectibles, but
right.
He sells, trading cards. And so when I go, I always make it a point to buy a pack of Yo MTV Raps trading cards from 1992. It's like I think maybe they did two series, but like this is the one they do in particular. So I got a pack and then I was chopping it up with the guy and I was looking around and he had these Fright Flicks trading cards.
Oh, no way.
Look how much they cost. Fucking $8 a pack, dude.
How many are in a pack? Looks like it's got a janky piece of bubblegum in there too.
Nine cards. When I bought it, the dude was like, don't eat the bubblegum. I was like,
okay, so yes.
I mean, you say that, but then like it's bubblegum.
It's just gonna powder out, bro. It won't even chew. I used to collect Garbage Pail Kids back in the day, and like I'd come up on like the cases of them, and sometimes I'd sit on the cases because I got the whole set. And I had unopened packs, so then I revisited those packs. Of course, not being a smart kid, you know, like 10 years later. Not an adult collector. And,
please,
dude.
Please. Of all the shit that we've thrown away that's come back to be like, oh my God, this is so valuable. It's like, I had like right. Nine of those, dude. What the fuck?
Right? Stupid McDonald's toys or something.
Yeah, totally. And I was just telling, Pearl and I were talking over dinner, and I was like, you know, the VHS scene is coming back around. People are starting to collect again, which is cool because, you know, at the end of the day with streaming shit, it's nice that you have such a plethora and like, you know, a variety of shit like at your immediate disposal. But even if you buy the digital version of it, there's a chance that you may not actually own it. I think about some of the older services, like I think Vudu was like, I know it's a streaming service now, but I think they used to have like where you can have like a digital library. They used to have it where you bought like the Blu-ray and then you like get the special edition. It came with the Blu-ray, the DVD, and then the digital download.
Yep.
And then I would download those and I'd put them in my whatever libraries. And then after a few years, I remember getting an email saying, hey, we're closing our library and your movies are going away. And it was like, dude, what the fuck?
Rip off.
So like, really, I don't own that movie, you know, and in the same way, I don't own any of the movies that are on Netflix or Prime or whatever. So the idea that like the physical media allows you to really kind of own it, true and true. Like, I get that part.
Yeah, no one can Mandela affect your memory of Seven if you actually have it.
Like, it's funny you say that because, like, right now, I'm going to talk loud so the camera can hear me.
Stepped up from your desk. I'll have to do my best to describe it for the audience.
No, you're good. I'm here. So again, if you follow on Instagram, then you'll probably already know this, but like, I was cleaning my desk before this, before our episode tonight. There's just a stack of DVDs on my desk, like two different stacks, right?
Oh man, that feels like 1995 to me right there.
At the very top of the stack.
Seven, you know it, brother.
Okay. So this last weekend I went driving with Soraya. She needed the practice and we ended up at Salzer's record store and I got Wolf Creek for $1, Short Circuit for $2.
Yes. Johnny Five is alive.
Hold on. American Werewolf in London for $3. And this one's dope because it's got the little sleeve. Digital or whatever. Copy? Yeah, I know, right? It's got the DVD, it's got the special, all the shit. So I got that for $3. I got something called Mutant Chronicles. I've never heard of it. It's the director's cut. I only got it because it's got Thomas Jane in it, and that reminded me of Dean Kirkwright. Shout out to Dean Kirkwright.
Yes.
And then I got this other one called P2. I've never heard of this one, but it looked dope, and it was $1. So
is that the one where they're like all on different, like in a prison and they're on different levels and the food levels change depending on like where you're at? Like, so if you're at the top, you get the like first pick, but if you're like beyond like the 40th level underground, like you get the worst. Anyways, I don't know what the fuck the movie that was, but it was dope as shit.
And that I recommend it. Like some Squid Game shit. No, I'll read the back of this one. A stylish horror thriller from the filmmakers behind High Tension and the 2006 remake of The Hills Have Eyes, P2 builds to an unforgettable, blood-curdling climax. I think that's why I bought it, because it was the people behind High Tension and The Hills Have Eyes. So I'm like,
can't go wrong.
I could fuck with that. That's cool.
You're going to make me feel awkward at some point. That's what I get from that.
Now, I will say, I also have here...
Oh, the movie I was thinking of, I'm sorry to cut you off.
You're good.
Was The Platform. It's a Spanish movie. If you haven't seen it, it was awesome.
Got it.
I think it's on Netflix.
Okay. The movie I have here, hopefully I don't have to go back and re-edit where I showed my personal home address to everybody. Want to take a guess? It was sent to me by somebody we follow on Instagram. Someone we've talked to before.
Don't tell me it's our homies over at Blood Gorge.
It is.
What's up, Victor? How you doing, man? Let's see.
I can open it. I'm strong enough. I'm an adult. Busting the seal on this bitch. Ooh, cool. It's got a little insert.
Yes.
And then the DVD actually came in its own separate sleeve, not...
And that way it can't get all scratched up and jacked up on the shipping.
Pain is temporary. Halloween is forever. Shout out Victor, RFN Pictures, Blood Gorge. Check that shit out. Cruel 2 is coming out. Make sure you check that shit out. They got another one in development. Man, those guys are doing big things over there.
Right fucking now, Productions. That's right. Just making it happen.
Okay, so since we are opening shit, which is great fucking radio for people who are listening to this thing...
Oh, I don't know about you, but we might be hitting an audience just loving the sound of the rappers and everything.
All right, man. What are we doing here tonight?
Yo, we are watching one of these Irish productions that popped up in 2012, directed by John Wright.
I'm going to throw Matt's intro in here in spirit of Matt.
Aw, yeah.
Okay, so the monsters are running amok, and we head towards that movie theater where the marquee reads... Grabbers.
It's always the quiet places where the madness happens.
But they're pilot whales. They died at sea.
I can't be selfish, sea monster.
This is something totally different. Something alien.
You don't believe me? Holy Christ! What did I tell you?
You believe in coincidences?
Not really.
You are so lucky she didn't kill you.
You were drunk.
If we taint our blood with booze, we're poisonous to eat.
It's extraordinary.
We stay out of the rain and we drink.
You're throwing a party.
It's a welcome party for me.
But you're leaving in a fortnight.
It's just a goodbye party, whatever.
Tequila!
Gotcha.
You got Semtex on you?
Not on me, no.
Oh!
I'm pissed.
It's okay. I'm all right.
A 2012 film written by Kevin Lehane and directed by one John Wright. Give us a synopsis, Reedy.
I guess the easiest way is this is a creature feature. And so a creature made its way to a seaside village in a remote island in Ireland, and now the town is basically under attack and trying to figure out how to thwart the advancement of this random alien creature.
There you go. Yeah, dude. When Matt picked it, I don't know why I thought the movie was older than it was. It's 2012, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, but like, because it's a creature feature, which I'm always fucking down for. I think I'm a huge fan of creature features. The special effects in this movie, I thought were really fucking good.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't know why I thought it was an older movie. And then when I went to watch it on Shudder, the cover art also looked older. And then I was like, oh,
50s-ish.
Shit. Yeah. And then it was 2012. And then Matt was saying, was it today? I think it was today. He was saying that when he started it, like, he had only watched the first half hour and he wasn't into it as much, which I can relate to, because I tried to start this movie a couple times. And I think every time that I started it, it was like the end of the night. It was, late. It was like, I'm chilling on the couch and I'd fall asleep.
It's dark. It's a dark movie. And that I picked up on that because I was watching it like during the day, and the reflection from windows behind me were like on the TV, and I was constantly thinking to myself, I should be watching this at night. like this is a dark movie. And so
darkly lit, not like dark themed where it's like, oh, this is a dark ass movie.
Right.
Gotcha.
And then the lighting is very typical for me of watching, because I watch a lot of European shows, and like we watched Ghost Watch recently. Like, that same production is pretty common in Europe. So that in itself could quickly detract away from the story with this the dark lighting, dim lighting and stuff. So I ain't mad at you for falling asleep.
I don't think I ever noticed that.
Well, oh yeah, you will now.
I know, right? Just like I'm paying attention to how men die in movies now because fucking Dean Kirkwright.
Thanks, like, Dean.
I know.
same here.
No, so like in the beginning, I was like, does this movie suck? You know what I mean? Like, am I falling asleep because it's boring? And then I picked it back up right where like we start to see kind of the first death and the action starts to kick in. And I watched it by myself in the morning with coffee. Like, I was just chilling. I was awake. I was focused. I was watching it. And then I was like, oh shit, this is actually a good movie. Like, it picks up, but it's that first half hour where you got to kind of stick with it. So I can see where Matt was coming from, where he was like, oh, I watched the first 30 minutes and I was like, whatever. And that, I think I replied back and was like, you got to stick with it because it does pick up.
Yeah. For being a horror comedy, the comedy is like super Irish tongue-in-cheek comedy. So like, if you're not in the mood and you're not dialed in and paying attention, like, jokes are gonna fly right over your head real quick.
True. The only thing that detracted for me per se is it's listed as a horror comedy, And there's, you know, it's a creature feature, so for sure. And then there are comedic parts of it. I don't think it tries to be funny. Like, and I like when movies do that, right? And it's just, they kind of build it in. I got a lot of, like, Shaun of the Dead vibes from this movie.
Oh, totally.
But I think Shaun of the Dead, like, strives more to be comedic, but still does it really well. The thing that was a detractor for me was the score. Mm. Some of the music in the movie just was too offbeat from, like, what's happening in the scene, or like the pacing of the movie, or like the tone of the story itself. And it was kind of like a conflict for me. I mean, it wasn't like horrible, but, you know, I was talking with shout out to the Bearded Villain. I was talking to Mike Bearded Villain a couple of days ago, and we were talking about the little nuance bullshit that we notice in movies. And he was like, bro, he's like, when I listen to your show, and he's like, I'm so glad you talk about the little shit. He's like, because I hyper focus on the little shit. And he's like, I'm so glad to know that it's, you know, there's another one like me out there. I'm like, I got you, dude. It's all good.
There's a lot of us.
That's true. Yeah. All right, yeah. So the movie starts with a shot of this boat. It's not a boat, it's a yacht. No, it's a boat.
Nah, dude, it's like a full-on, like, fishing boat. Like, it looks like it's been through some shit.
Yeah, it's out there in the darkness, and we see, what was that show where, like, they used to follow people on, like, fishing boats and shit? Wildest, like, Catch, or whatever it's called?
Or the Ice Crab Fisherman? I don't know, I'm probably mixing up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. But, like, they're out in the middle of fucking nowhere, and they see this big-ass, like, what looked like a comet almost hit the ocean. They're trying to figure out what it is. Somebody gets sucked into the water. They're calling for man down, and then it's just kind of chaos ensues in the water, and we cut to black.
I was cracking up, though. One of the dude, he's like, "Skipper!" as he gets, like, taken from the ship, and then he yells, "Dad!"
That's not where I thought you were going to go with that. I mean, yeah, it was funny to me, but I immediately thought of Gilligan's Island when he said "Skipper."
Oh yeah. I mean, that's a given. But like when he's like "Skipper" and then "Dad," I was like, that's because the Irish respect the sea so much. I don't know. I'm making that up, but it wouldn't surprise me.
It sounded good.
Yeah, you know. I like the sea. The ship's name was the Sea Harvester.
Is it?
Yeah, which kind of like reminded me of like the creature. He's kind of like harvested in the sea, you know, like,
got it,
as we see in the next scene.
So actually what the next scene is we, you know, we fade in on our main character. So I don't know, you've traveled abroad, what are guards like? This is cops, police, right?
Yeah, don't get mistaken there.
No. So it's just
show them respect if you're in the town.
For a second, Lisa Nolan is the character. She's played by Ruth Bradley. She's got Garda written on her chest, and I'm like, is that her last name? And then when she gets off the boat and she's walking over to, I don't know how to pronounce his first name. Was it Siren? Siren O'Shea. He's the other Garda, and then the truck said Garda, and I was like,
let me just say, when you get into Gaelic names like his and everybody else's in this, I don't know how to enunciate any of them. It's a very unique language, so if we massacre them through this, it's only because we don't know Gaelic. Like,
we'll figure it out as we go. It's fine.
Absolutely. Anyway,
there's a character in this movie. His name is Tadj?
Yeah.
It's spelled, because I had the subtitles on, it's spelled Tadhg. Let me do that phonetically. That's Tango Alpha Delta Tango Alpha Delta Hotel Golf. Tadhg. And I was like, did they mistype it? That name doesn't look right. But sure enough, that's what it was.
It's Gaelic, bro. It's just, that is the predominant local language of most of Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That's how they separate the outsiders from the locals. Like, if you don't know, then...
Got it.
Right at that moment when he gets in the car, homegirl goes like, hey, do you want a mint? He's like, nah, no thanks. It gives me heartburn.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let's talk about why, right? So she's getting off the boat. This is Garda Lisa Nolan. She's getting off the boat. She's all bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, happy to be here, clearly. Then she walks off this boat past this sign that says, welcome to Aran Island, which
looks exactly like Amity Island, by the way, from Jaws.
Yeah.
The same sun.
Yeah, totally. And she walks over to the truck where they just call him O'Shea throughout the movie. So I'm referring to him as O'Shea. He's like half drunk in his car. Like they just showed him like waking up in his house drinking. And so, you know, she gets in and she's all like excited to go. And he's like, are you serious right now? Like,
hi, O'Shea, isn't it? Ciarán? My name is Lisa Nolan, Garda Lisa Nolan.
I'm not serious.
What?
Really? You're happy to be here, you know? And right. That's when she was like, do you want a mint? And he was like, nah, gives me heartburn.
Would you like a mint?
No, but give me a heartburn.
That's so good. That's such a good line right there. Clearly, she's not offering because of any other reason than your ass stinks.
Right.
Someone told me a long time ago, if you ever get offered a mint or gum, just accept it. There's a reason why you're being offered. I thought it was good life advice.
So we get over to the office, and it turns out that one of the guys that O'Shea works with is going to be leaving for like 2 weeks. So they brought her in from like the mainland to hang out with him for the 2 weeks just so he had coverage. And
she really necessary.
Do tell me, boy.
You're only gone 2 weeks. You can handle 2 weeks.
You could, but you wouldn't.
And then we, you know, kind of introducing the characters. And then we start to meet some of the fishermen. And we meet probably my most favorite character of this whole movie. And that's Patty.
Kek, take a look at this.
Yeah, Lalor Roddy is his, I believe, his regular name, not acting name.
Yeah.
Wait, I said that weird. Tequila, the bitch.
Yeah, Patty is like the old. So like this town is like very just like there's like probably, you know, like, I don't know, 200 people and they all know each other and it's a fishing town and like.
I think it's a separate island. I think it's like its own island because they were talking about how next week there's going to be a festival or something nearby. And that nearby city is not a very big city in its own. So like everybody's leaving to go to that festival.
Got it. But yeah, so we meet Patty. He's like the local town drunk, old man, you know, always fucking ready, or at the ready with like a quip or ready to talk shit. Town drunk. He was my favorite for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then we meet, there's a doctor on the island who has
Dr.
called.
Dr. Smith.
Yeah, Dr. Smith. He called over the cops and Drunky and Bright Eyes show up to kind of find out what's going on. And there's these whales on the beach that are all fucking cut up. And I mean, they're already kind of laying the groundwork for like a little rom-com thing between O'Shea and Nolan. And like, he's kind of digging on her. But then when we show up and Smith is kind of a pretty boy, you know, he starts hitting it off with Nolan and you can see some tension on O'Shea's side or whatever.
Smith.
Lisa.
Hi.
That's a marine psychologist or something. Did I get that right?
No. It's marine ecology. Hmm. You hold this a second. How long are you here for?
I'm here 2 weeks.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Where else are you staying?
So, they're dead.
Dead? Oh, no, no. No, they're just sleeping.
So what happened?
Well, they're pilot whales. It happens with them from time to time, but no one really knows why.
What are all these deep cuts?
Possible wounds from the rocks while being washed up here.
But they didn't beach themselves?
Oh, no, no. No, they died at sea.
All of them? At once?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a strange one, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It is what it is. But I thought it was cool because they're looking at these like these specific kind of whales on the beach that had like all these like cuts to them, and it was like they were dead, right? Or at least this one was dead, and they're trying to figure out like what happened to it. And the doctor's like, I don't know, like shit happens, you know. But who knows? And then what we find out is like, it didn't just happen to one. It happened to a bunch of them. And then they show the beach and there's a few more laid out. So there's obviously something in the water that's killing these small little whales.
That little rom-com thing you were talking about, it's pretty funny because as they're walking up, Bright Eyes turns to Drunky and goes like, I'd appreciate it if you address me as Garda, you know, like, because like I deserve that, you know, respect.
Oh yeah, because he
and then as
Lisa.
Soon as they meet Smith, like as soon as they do, she's go, oh hi, I'm Lisa.
Yeah.
Like, no time at all. She was like, hey.
Yeah, I don't think she missed the beat. I think she knew immediately like he was into her. So like she was using any opportunity to like to fuck with him, you know, on that respect or in that respect. All right, so they don't know what the fuck is going on. So they pull up to this like, I don't know, was it like a salvage place? Kind of what would look like an auto salvage place nowadays?
Yeah, it was just like a yard, you know, where...
Where you hide bodies?
Yeah, right? it just looked like a work yard.
Well, it's important. Well, I mean, the yard itself isn't important, but there's a large crane there that's like helping move shit around. And that's important because that's going to come in play later. She's just trying to figure out, you know, ask some questions, you know, do actual police work. And O'Shea's like, whatever, man, you do you, you know, I could care less. But at the same time, we see Patty coming back to the house with one of those like crab nets, like this, not
a lobster trap.
That's what it is. Yeah. A lobster trap. But it's also funny too, because he's coming in carrying this thing into his house with like a welder's mask on. And I was like, do most fishermen wear welder's masks?
Well, no, he's wearing the welder's mask because when he saw it on the dock and he called over his homie to take a look at it, it pissed in his homie's eye.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part.
Or it squirted in his eyes. So, like, he was trying to protect his eyes with the welder's mask.
You know, golden showers aren't for everybody, man.
Especially when they smell, I guess, apparently as bad as it smelled. Like, that was one of the things that it was a constant theme throughout the movie, is that the liquid that comes from it or whatever is really, really stanky.
It's piss. It's supposed to stink.
How else are you going to mark your territory?
All right. So we see everyone's just kind of winding down. Nightfall is upon us. Everybody's kind of leaving the beach where the cops were kind of talking to some people. And one of the guys goes missing. There was something that like reached out from the ocean and like grabbed one of the guys and pulled him into the water.
Yeah, so O'Shea went over to that yard and basically struck up a deal with the foreman of the yard or whatever, and was like, look, I got about an hour's worth of work for you. Come over here and get these damn whales off the beach.
Remember that favor you owe me? Well, I'm looking for some boys to help move a few things off the beach there. It's an hour's worth of tops.
Don't be leaving things behind you.
What sort of things?
And so, in the midst of the work, once it was all done, one of the workers had left some shovels and equipment on the beach. So the head guy is like, hey, go back there and pick that shit up. Like, you don't leave behind equipment. So the dude walks out there, looks down in the...
I do if you're not paying me enough. Fuck that shit.
Right? Looks down in the sand. Well, it looks like that's one of, like, three jobs on the island, you know? And, and the freaking pub is already, like... past of two of them. So the dude looks down in the sand and he sees the, like these like round orbs, like eggs, like, and as soon as he touches one, that's when randomly something pulls him into the water and he's gone.
There you go. Kind of our first kill. But I mean, you don't really see kind of any death, right? You don't see Yeah.
No, because you had the man overboard. They had the entire ship was killed
first.
Yeah,
that's true too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to your point, the one that we kind of see, everything else is just kind of pulled off to the side. I don't know. even at this point, you still don't know what the thing looks like. I like was doing frame by frame when they're like had the lobster trap and everything.
I guess, goddamn.
Like, hey man, want to see a damn feature?
Y'all want
whatever, fucker.
All right. So from there, we're now at the pub, and O'Shea's drinking at the pub, and Patty's there too. And then Lisa comes down. Apparently the hotel that she's staying at is attached to the pub,
which is really common in Ireland, like small towns. Yeah. Like everything is going to be attached to the pub. So like entire town, the high street, there might be like one fish and chip shop and a pub. And that is it in some of the small, like Ireland cities and places I've been.
Nice. Well, she comes out, she's asking for an iron for some clothes, and she's realizing that O'Shea is there, and he's like, oh shit, this is where she's staying. And then I think the bartender's wife was like, I think that chick likes you.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you picked up on this, but that chick, the bartender's wife, was in Pulp Fiction. She was one of the like creepy people hanging out with Eric Stoltz when they had to like use the epinephrine shot in her chest.
Get out of here.
Yes, dude.
Hold How on, cool I'm is that shit up right now.
You should.
Brona Gallagher, Pulp Fiction, Trudy. There you go. Damn.
I'm telling you, bro. Talk about deep.
Well, okay. Pulp Fiction was 94. This one is 12. So that's 18 years difference. You know what's crazy? She looked familiar. She had a face where I was like, do I know her from somewhere? But her Irish accent is so thick. I was like, there's nowhere I know her from.
Right, right. I went through the exact same process. Hence the reason why I picked that up.
So anyways, she leaves. They're talking to the bartender. And then this is when Patty leans over and he starts to talk to O'Shea. And he's like, they're like, you know, just making small talk. And he says something about like,
what is it, Patty?
What do you like to know?
Not really, no.
You would, though?
No, not really.
You would? If you were to know what I know, you'd want to know.
All right, tell us then.
Right, so between you and me, I caught myself a sea monster today. Swear to God, may he strike me down. You don't believe me?
Not a bit.
I am no liar. Fuck off, you!
All right, where is it?
In my bathtub.
In your bathtub?
Up in the bath.
So O'Shea doesn't believe him, right? Because he's fucking drunk, right? He's talking shit. But he did. We saw him. We saw it. It's in his bathtub. He's telling the truth.
That guy.
So it's meant to like dismiss him, but we know he's telling the truth. And then we cut to this other scene where this dude is chilling on his like chair, falling asleep, watching a movie. Now,
what movie was it?
Oh my God, dude. It's fucking Night of the Living Dead.
I was like, this movie is chock full of homages in here. I love it.
Well, I mean, it's not uncommon for Night of the Living Dead to be in any other movie because it's public domain. Yeah, 100%. Right. So everybody can use the shit out of it. So it's nice to see it. It was nice to see it every once in a while, but I do feel like we do see it a lot more often than now than we used to.
Yeah, but in 2012 we didn't. Anyways,
that's
keep
probably
going.
True. Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. So yeah, someone's knocking at the door. He goes to get it. I thought it was so funny because he was asleep. The wife was like blow drying her hair and he's like yelling at her to come and open the door. She's like, I'm not even dressed. And I was like, you got a robe on. Go answer the door.
All right. Answer it anyways. I don't care.
Like, I was at work all day. You can't answer the door?
Right.
So he answers the door, but then it's the dude that got dragged into the ocean.
Was it him or was it the boss?
Well, the boss.
I think it was the boss, the one who like had told the guy to go get the stuff, and then like he got drug into the ocean, and then the boss like walks over, and now he's at the front door.
You look like death. What are you doing?
Everybody's dying at this point.
I'm gonna say yes. Either way, it's one of the dudes from the fucking beach. And he's like, he's being like marionetted. Like he's like, he's like a puppet at this point, but you don't really see what's controlling him until they actually step out to try to figure out what's happening. And this is where I would like start to fall asleep, which is stupid because this is the part where it starts to like pick up in pace. I think what was happening was like leaning into it. This is 22 minutes in and I was already like dozing off. So I would wake up and be like, oh, there's action. Let me rewind it and then back to sleep again. But nonetheless, I got there this morning and so we see the husband get like plucked out of the house or from the ground or whatever, like and up over the roof of the house. And then the wife is like trying to run around, trying to figure out what's happening. And then I don't know, like she was digging for something in the chimney.
She was trying to close the fluke because there was all that scratching going on. So like she's trying to close it, but in reaching up to get it, she put herself at risk.
I see. And here I thought she was like trying to reach for a gun or something.
Oh, no. They showed like the handle of the flue that she was reaching for.
Well, it didn't work because that fucking thing plucked her out from the chimney as well. Like the reverse.
Took her right, took her right out of her slippers, too.
That's true. So now that the thing is out and about and it's starting to kill some people, we got back to the hotel and O'Shea's drunk ass fucking walks up to Lisa's room because Pulp Fiction had told him that, you know, this chick was all into him. So he went upstairs, I guess, to get try to get laid.
Oh, yeah.
And she wasn't having it. And so I don't know. They make small talk and then they end up in the next scene opening up where he's like in the drunk tank.
Right She had tried to take him home and he passed out before she could tell he could tell her where, and so he ended up like she just took him straight to the drunk tank and dropped him off, and like all bright-eyed and bushy-tail answered the phone and everything too. Like
but in the meantime, while all that's happening, they cut back to Patty, who goes back home all fucking wasted to check in on what he had caught. And when he gets into the bathroom, after he takes a couple drinks first, because, you know, got to stay topped off.
Well, he poured himself that special liquor drink.
Well, we don't know that yet. We just see him drinking something, right?
Oh, we know.
Well, we do now, like, because we saw it, but we didn't know at that time. He walks into the bathroom and he's got his welding mask back on. And he's looking for the creature. It's not in the lobster trap anymore. And like, there's an egg in where the monster used to be. And then there's like slime all over the wall. And then as he's looking around panicked, he turns and there's this fucking octopus looking thing. It's just like all tentacles. That's all it looks like. It's just all tentacles. Dude, it was awesome. I'm telling you, the special effects in this thing were fucking dope. And it just like attacks him and you see it like get to his face, which like immediately gave me like face hugger vibe. So now we've talked about Shaun of the Dead, we've talked about Alien, Jaws, right? So like you can see where like there's a lot of influence in this movie. But we don't see what happens. We don't know if Patty dies or not, right? It just kind of cuts away and we're left to try to figure out what's happening there. And then this is where we go back to the drunk tank and we find that, you know, O'Shea's in there. But once O'Shea and Lisa hook back up, the next scene is the two of them with Patty and they're showing up to Dr. Smith's office. And like, I was like, you're not even going to explain to me what happened with Patty. Like, I guess he's alive. That's cool.
Right.
And he doesn't even seem phased. Like, he didn't have this fucking tentacle monster sucking his face out. You know what I mean?
Right. He's back to his old self. Actually, he's kind of giddy wandering around the place Me and the cocks walk, if you ask me.
Not giddy, he's drunk.
I discovered it. I get to name it.
So they're in this, they're in Dr. Smith's office, and he's fucking around with one of the, I think it was the one, I don't remember if Patty had brought him the tentacle monster or if they pulled one off the beach, but he had one, right? He collector's item. He just had one and he'd been fucking with it all morning, and he'd realized that, they need two things to survive. Do you remember what those are? Is
blood. Water and blood.
Blood.
But they never established if it had to be human blood. Just blood.
Well, I mean, they were attacking those whales, so.
Ah, good point. Yeah. Good point.
But here's the thing. Like, we get to see, like, a top-down shot of what this thing is because since it doesn't have water, it's all dried out, right? So it's dead, supposedly. And so we're looking at it, and it looks like almost like a starfish, where like it doesn't really have a body per se, but instead of like points or whatever, it's got tentacles. And like, I'm not gonna lie, it just looked like the middle part, its mouth or whatever, it just looked like a big butthole, dude.
Like, did it with not? With teeth.
Oof. Is that movie, Teeth. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. That's a great one.
You know I have.
Vagina Dentata. But yeah, it looked like a butthole with teeth, dude. So they leave and they end up at dude's house where he died the night before. The dude that got yanked out from his house, and then his wife from the chimney. And they find it, you know, the dude's head, and they take it to like the medical examiner. And it was so funny because like they just drop a head on this table, and he's like, "What killed him?" He's like,
"A head. You bring me someone with a head cold or a headache and I could do something. But you bring me just a head and you're taking the piss. Jesus, they could bury him in a shoebox."
"Doctor, we need to know."
"He was mauled in some way by some animal or something. I don't know."
How the fuck do I know? Like, I usually need like a whole body to do this, and you just brought me a head.
He wasn't really like the medical examiner. I got the impression he's just like the town's doctor, like the local doctor, you know, rural.
Hey, man. When you live give in me Mulberry, a head cold. You it reminds me of the lunch lady from The Simpsons. There was an episode where Superintendent Chalmers like had got hurt, so he was in like the nurse's office getting like bandaged, but it was the lunch lady doing it. And he like turns to Skinner, he's like, "Skinner, why is lunch lady Doris also like the nurse?" And she immediately just takes a cigarette out of her mouth. She's like, I get two paychecks this way.
That's what I'm talking about.
So now they're like, okay, what are we going to do? Because there's these things on the loose that are killing whales and attacking people and, you know, ripping the heads off people. And, you know, we don't really know what they are. And they start to figure out that, like, of all the places where they have been seen or attacked, it's all been around, like, this, like, cove. So they decide to go to the cove. It's Bright Eyes, it's Drunky, and it's Patty. And they start kind of, like, looking around. And the two cops end up in this big-ass cave. And, you know, they're dilly-dallying, they're kind of soft-toeing it, and Patty stays outside, and he's walking the beach, and he comes up against, like a nest of eggs, right? He's not really sure what they are, but I think he kind of knows, because there was one in his bathroom the night before.
Right, right.
And as he's, like, wiping the sand off of them, he's seeing, like, them move on the inside, so he immediately gets, like, freaked the fuck out, which...
That's a good jump scare.
Yeah, a little bit.
Jenny.
I'm not one for jump scares, but yeah, it was a good one. Hello. But at the same
they go back in the cave, I believe, at that time, and that's when Nolan is just, or O'Shea starts yelling, you know, like, "Hey, is anyone in there?" You know, she's like,
"That's what I'm saying," because they're just like,
"Calm down."
Yeah, they're just like, you know, light footed in there, and he's like, "Fuck it, I don't think anything's in here," and then sure enough, like the biggest fucking thing. Just, you don't really see it come out per se. You see like glimpses of it, shadows of it. You hear it, right? It sounds really loud. I don't know if you caught it, but when they ran out, O'Shea, like they were both screaming, and like he was like running, but he was like flailing his hands in the air. Like it looked so funny, dude.
Like a drunk idiot.
Well, not even that. It looked like those things at the car lots that, you know, that you know what I'm talking about? Those inflatable, like, dancing.
Man, I wish I could do it from South Park, the name of them.
Oh, I don't remember. I remember from Always Sunny, though, because D was learning how to dance like one of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
So they get all freaked out on the beach. They run back to the Dr. Smith's office, and immediately they're like, fuck that. Let's burn the one that's here. And I was like, yeah, do it. But then the doctor's like, no, don't do that. And I couldn't figure out why he didn't want him to burn it, because the thing is dried out. It's on the table. It's not moving. We've already established it's appears to be dead. But then I didn't realize when the fire kicks in, so does the sprinklers.
He's hydrated now.
Oh, man. That's all he needed. Just lube him up. He's ready to go. As good as new.
Just a little water. Just spit on it.
Yeah.
That's gross, dude.
But yeah, so okay. So now this thing is just kind of laying on the table, and they're approaching it, and they each start to grab weapons, right? So the doctor picks up a chair, right? And they're doing this like slow walk, the three of them side by side up towards the desk where the thing is sitting. I think at this point, Patty had already named this creature Grabber, right? This is where we get the movie title Grabbers, because he just called it a grabber because it just grabbed onto his face. So Dr. Smith grabs the chair. Bright Eyes grabs, I think it was like a knife. I don't remember what she picked up.
Yeah, it was okay. Like a little knife.
So she picks up a knife, and then fucking O'Shea, like in the most like subtle way, just picks up like a magazine and rolls it up. And I was like
he's gonna swat the nose of it like a dog.
Yeah, and then like he just like he rolls it up, right? And then I was like, what the fuck is he gonna do with that? And then he starts like, you know, doing that thing where he's like hitting his other hand with it, and like yeah, you're gonna get it now. And I was like,
show it who's boss.
Yeah, yeah, that magazine, man. Good luck.
Like I said, it's that tongue-in-cheek comedy through the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's subtle. That's what I liked about it. But yeah, so it starts to attack the group, and then it starts to attach itself to O'Shea. And then it ends up jumping off of O'Shea, and then you see like his face is all bloody and shit. So you can tell like it was like a leech, I think they referred to it as sometimes. It was sucking the blood out of him. But then it regurgitated all that stuff. It threw it up.
Yep.
Why though?
Man, because O'Shea had been spending all day and all night still drinking and was already hammered drunk visibly. Hence the magazine.
They've already laid the foundation that like he is an alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they show him drinking all day. So the fact that this thing was like sucking blood out of him, but it had, you know, alcohol in it, it didn't like it, and it made it sick, and it threw it up. And so they just started like stomping the shit out of it. And then that's when they realized like, oh, okay, alcohol is like poison to this thing. And then out of nowhere, Patty comes back.
How are you still alive?
Huh? Diet and exercise.
Took three of us to get that thing off of me.
I wasn't always lucky.
Yeah, it must have liked your blood much.
What have you been eating?
I had a bit of a banana and a bag of chips yesterday. And
you were drunk.
Oh, Patty. Like a true, like true you, Irish like Patty right the there.
Well, and one of them bit Patty.
Okay, so
dies.
Now that they know how to
so intoxicated, his blood alcohol
defend
level
themselves
toxic.
Against it,
taint our blood with booze, with poison,
they kind of band together with the medical examiner, and they head back over to the pub and they're talking to the bartender about like, hey, what are we going to do? Because these things like water and they're all around the beach and they're out on the loose and it's supposed to rain tonight. Like there's supposed to be a big ass storm coming in. So like, how are we going to keep ourselves safe?
I love that line. It was earlier where she goes, hey, there's a big storm coming, and freaking Bright Eyes turns to the shopkeep and Pulp Fiction and says, like, how do you know? Is it because the gulls are flying low? And she goes, no, I fucking saw it in the news.
Like, you know what? I caught that, but I didn't. Like, I didn't. I heard her say those words, but I didn't understand what they were. I'm telling you, I had to watch with the subtitles on for a lot of it because I just. It gets thick in some parts.
Yeah, and like the fact that they're on this isolated island is important because that's why there's not like backup to come in and save them. Like they're on their own. Like that's it.
Yeah, and they do. I mean, it was an easy kind of setup for all of that to happen.
Right.
So the island makes sense. So they realize, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're going to have a shut-in or a lock-in, I think is what they call it. They're mm-hmm. going to invite the entirety of the town to come lock themselves into the pub for the night and get fucking hammered.
So this is common in like that area, Ireland, Northern Ireland, the UK, England, sorry. A lock-in basically is when pubs should close like at 11 p.m., but they decide like whoever's inside can continue drinking. You just aren't allowed to go outside. And when you go outside, that's it. You're gone. Mm. Like there's no coming back. And they'll do a lock-in. Like I walked into a couple random ones.
How can you walk just in if it's locked? Or you mean like you were there when it started?
Before closing, started making, you know, good friends with the people there and just kept the party going until daylight. Like, and I mean like, yeah, it was one of those days.
Yeah. In my 20s days.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the plan, right? We're gonna lock in, we're gonna get fucking hammered, and we will essentially become like poison to these things, making them like allergic to us so they won't attack us, right? And so the only problem with that is that Bright Eyes doesn't drink.
Nope, never drank before.
So they go through this whole thing of like, well, let's get her drunk. And then they decide that O'Shea is going to be like the sober one in case anything goes down. And as they're like sitting there feeding her beers, because I think that the test was, let's get you drunk.
Drunk as Patty was.
Well, here's the thing. That's the point.
Because Patty's right? The only person who would like, for sure.
Or O'Shea, but like it takes a lot for them to get drunk. So they don't have a lot of time. So they're like, let's get the alcohol virgin drunk, and then we'll take some of her blood and then we'll test it with the one that we have captured. And that's what they do. They take some out with a needle and then they inject it into the one that they have. And the thing ends up basically fucking dying. So they're like, perfect. The plan's going to work. We'll just stay inside. We'll get drunk. And then if they try to attack us, it will kill them. So hopefully they'll just like go away. That's the plan.
I loved how like Bushy Tails is now hammered. Like the rest of the movie, basically she's now hammered drunk. And I had read how the director knew that this was going to be integral to the story. So he took Drunky McGee and Bushy Tail out for a late night piss up. They all got drunk as shit and he videotaped the whole thing so that they can then watch later some of their mannerisms while they're drunk and replicate it later in the movie.
Smart.
Yeah. I thought it was a cool trick.
Well, that's how this whole movie came to be, right? I think the director was like on a camping trip or something and he was getting bit by mosquitoes. And I think he'd like turned to his homie and was like, do you think mosquitoes get drunk because I'm drunk and then they suck my blood and so they're drunk? And
right.
And from there it was grabbers. Like, that's insane to me, you know, where you just take a little idea like that and then just turn it into something as big as this movie is, you know?
And that's why there's people that are really talented that do stuff like that. It's not me.
It could be, but yeah.
In the right circumstances.
Yeah. And the director really hasn't done anything that I'm immediately like familiar with. Like I'm looking through his IMDb and before this was Tormented, Fancy Dress, some shorts. After it was something called Robot Overlords. Yeah, really nothing that I'm familiar with. So kudos to him, because like I said, I think for
it's being a great movie,
an indie movie of its caliber, the special effects were really top notch for it. I know I keep coming back to that, but it was good.
Agreed.
So now that they're all kind of okay, plans in motion, they go to the church and they tell the townspeople, like, hey, you know, we want to have a lock-in, and they're like, for what? And who cares? And like, they don't want to startle the town.
Just a quick announcement. At Maher's Tavern tonight, we're having a bit of a shindig, and you're all coming to join us for what'll be a great night's crack. So tell everybody, tell your friends, tell your families. Everybody's welcome.
You're throwing a party?
Yeah.
Why?
Who needs a reason to have a laugh?
It's a welcome party for me.
Welcome party? But we're leaving in a fortnight.
It's just a goodbye party, whatever.
You only just got here.
What's the problem?
What we mean to say is that...
Hey, bucko! Where are you going? This party's for your benefit. And all you're going to be there to is the law. And I swear to God, I'll arrest anyone here who isn't. Could you just sit down?
What Cardinal Nolan means is that we love your company. There's no point going home to a cold, empty house when there'll be music and company and the crack.
So then they're like, free drinks all night. And they're like, fuck yeah, let's go.
But then you say open bar, man. And like,
open bar, dude.
It opens everything.
Yeah.
I'm double fisting, double jacking coats.
Yeah. Okay, so they get everybody into the bar. They lock it up. They're in the back room, right? And they're going over their weapons.
Right, weapons. What have we got?
Crap.
I have a nail gun and a board with a nail in it.
Well, I've got a hurley and a pellet gun.
What are we going to do with a pellet gun?
Shoot pellets. But I don't have any pellets.
All right. Well, you can just wiggle it at them then.
All right. What have you got?
I've got... a flare gun.
I just have a flare gun.
CPS 4100 pump action twin jet super soaker shoots 20 feet. The nephews.
Brian, it's a water pistol. This thing loves the water.
It's a water pistol if you use water. Fill it with petrol. You've got a flamethrower. Oh,
this is a water pistol.
Right. Look sharp, folks.
You know, they're just doing a quick inventory. And they all start the night by taking a shot. Now, one thing we didn't mention, we kind of mentioned, was what they're taking shots of. And this is Patty's, like, homebrew. It's exactly what he calls it. It's his homebrew. And
it's Irish moonshine. Poutine or poaching.
Oof.
Yeah.
Poutine? No, that's a... Poutine is a Canadian, right?
Same pronounce, like in Ireland they have the same thing. It's just a different one's alcoholic in Ireland, one's like delicious and fatty in Canada. Mm-hmm. Either way, serve them up.
Got it. Okay. Well, his homebrew is like potentness.
Oh yeah.
So they take a shot.
It's like those blueberries at the bottom of the moonshine. You know about that.
I'm surprised you remember that.
Well, people tell me about it.
You did have a good time. Yeah, you did. So they so the night gets started, everybody's having a good time. Bright Eyes and Drunk Cop, they're in the car, they're watching out front, they're chilling. He keeps using like the breathalyzer with her.
Drunk Cop is sober though. He made the decision that like he knows that when he's drunk, he's useless. So he's gonna stay sober and be the person that's orchestrating everything that's going on in the town.
Yeah, in case shit goes down, somebody needs to be able to make like rational decisions.
Which is important because the guy who before was basically impervious to this creature, now he's 100% at risk.
True. Yeah, yeah. But he's willing to take that risk. That was noble of him.
Fair.
So they're getting to know each other in the truck. You know, we're finding out a little bit about his backstory, about his wife leaving him, and that's what caused him to drink. So he didn't drink before. She's admitting to him like that she likes him a little bit, and she's like, you know, you could probably have me, and he's like, I would, but you're drunk, and that's weird.
She also shared that the reason why she took this job is because her sister's like super successful and she's like competitive with her and stuff.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, there's like a little bit of deeper backstory for her too.
I got it. So we're just a lot of cutscenes back and forth between there and the bar. Everybody's getting fucking hammered.
Barkeep's got two bottles and taking like shots straight from the two bottles. Dude, like I was like, yes.
Hell yeah.
Frank the Tank, baby.
I really do hope that they did some real life drinking while they were, you know, filming this shit. Because they had to. Oh,
it's Irish.
Yeah, right?
Dot, dot, dot. They're at a pub. Like.
Okay, well, the backstories get interrupted because, as we see, one of the guys from the pub comes outside to take a piss, literally. And this is where we start to see all of the little baby buttholes coming up from the beach onto the land. And they come over to the guy taking a piss and they start to attack him. They start to see that outside. So now it's like, okay.
It reminded me of all the worms in Slither. Like, I don't know if you remember all the little like worms in Slither, like making their way to the bathtub or whatever.
Yeah,
reminded me just like that.
Got it. Yeah, it's a good pull. So as they get out of the car and they're like, you know, trying to fight their way through all these little butthole worms, they're trying to save the dude that was getting attacked, but it's too fucking late because the big one that was in the cove comes out and he just like literally like he like all his tentacles let him stand up. This is a dope scene. He stands up. And then he's got like his butthole kind of like over the dude's head. And then he comes down and just like swallows the guy whole and then spits out his head. And I was like,
which is weird. How does he spit out the head, the top part of what he ate? Like the shoes and feet, like I get it. That makes sense. But the head, like it's like he had to turn it around. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
but it's also the second head it didn't eat.
Yeah, remember it didn't eat the other dude's head. And I don't think they ever circled back to why he doesn't eat the head.
I don't think we know why. We don't know enough about this creature other than the two facts, water and
blood. Yeah. So they get all freaked out. They go back to the car, try to keep themselves safe. The fucking thing is attacking the car. The bartender comes out to see what's happening, and it was so funny. He ran back in to get one of his weapons, which we didn't talk about all the weapons, but
yeah,
he was so proud of this like badass super soaker that he had. And they're like, this thing needs water to live and you got a super soaker. And he's like, filled it with gasoline. And then he had this like little fuse at the end. So he was going to light it on fire and make
it
like,
was a birthday candle, bro.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was a fucking birthday candle that he taped to the end and he filled it up with
I've
all the lighter,
that now.
The gasoline.
That now. Yeah. So he runs out all drunk, right? Like all commando, ready to kick ass. And immediately, as soon as he steps out in this heavy downpour rain, the flame goes out on the candle. He runs up to this creature. He starts to fucking, you know, pump action the super soaker. And just like in the most disappointing fashion ever, like he just starts to shoot it and nothing happens. It was so funny, dude.
And now he's face to face with this fucker, right?
And I was pulling for him too. I was like, hell yeah. Like his energy, he had that big dick energy, you know? He was like, I'm gonna get out there and fucking handle this shit. And then nothing, dude. And then there was a certain point where I was like, all right, that was funny, I'm over your vibe, now I want to see you die. But then fucking O'Shea comes and saves him and pulls him back into the bar. I was like, god damn it, I wanted to see him die.
And then I think right after that, that's when fucking scientist Smith or whatever, he had been just drinking on Patty's poutine, like just handling that shit. Hammer drunk stumbles outside, like he's gonna take on this creature. And what does the creature do, Paul? He just uses one of his little tentacles and flips him aside. And he goes flying through the air. That is it. He's dead. He's gone. No more Smith.
I did chuckle when I saw. I was like, oh my God, dude, that is so fucking hilarious. It's like when you just like flick something with your finger and it just flies off into the distance. You have no idea where it went. That's exactly what it's like. The Wile E. Coyote with a catapult. Like it just
right. Oh, you just, and like all the whole time I'm thinking like, oh, this dude's going to make it. He's so drunk that he's going to poison the shit out of this thing. And nope. Flick. Like, get out of my way, little buck guy.
That was so good, dude. I forgot about that. So it's about this point where the rest of the bar starts to figure out what's happening, right? And they can't manage the crowd control anymore. People are starting to freak out. And so the only option is, well, I guess what had happened was, no, here's what happens.
They ran out of booze.
Yeah, they ran out of booze. Fucking A. So no more booze, no more lock-in. I'm going home. And they're like, no, we need to keep it going. Somebody has to go out and change the kegs. And this is where I got Jurassic Park vibes, right? Someone's got to go absolutely turn the power on.
100% Jurassic Park.
So they're trying to figure out who's going to go. And then I think they wanted Bright Eyes to go because she was the most drunk. But of course, he's in love with her now. So he's like, no, that's not going to happen. But who ends up going? I don't remember.
That's when Smith goes. Like, I was a little ahead.
Ah,
I
think that was Smith. Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
He stepped up and was like, I'm going to do it. Ran outside and then he got flicked into fucking nowhere, dude. It's so funny. So they're trying to like make their way out of the bar. They're trying to keep everybody under control. They need to go pick up some of the weapons. Bright Eyes goes out to grab some of them. She grabs the nail gun, again, another weapon we didn't talk about, which she ended up using on one of those things, which was pretty fucking awesome.
And nailed it straight to the bar.
So now they're just in survival mode. So now it's just a matter of like, you know, stand and defend, right? Because the things are starting to break in now. That big ass one is starting to make its way through the pub. Everybody's like freaking out. So they're trying to figure out, what do we do? So
they're all upstairs.
They moved upstairs. They moved the party upstairs to try to avoid as many people like catching on, but it's not really working.
And Nolan, goody two shoes, she goes downstairs. And like you said, she used the nail gun. And in the, while trying to fight off these little buttholes, that's when a fire accidentally breaks out. So now you've got this enhanced problem going on where like there's the pub's on fire and everyone's above the pub. So like your entire plan to save the town is about to get blown to pieces.
So I think what the plan that they come up with is, let's distract the thing. Here's what we'll do. It needs water and blood to survive. We've already taken care of the blood. The hard part is the water, right? And so somehow they figured out, if we can get it like lifted where it's off the ground and out of the water, then it'll dry out and it'll die.
In the sun the next day.
Correct. Yes. Yep. So the plan is now, let's lure it away from the water. Let's get it over to the salvage yard. The construction site. Yep.
Yep.
Let's get it hooked on the crane and we'll just leave it there hanging so that when the sun comes out, it'll dry it out and then we can like burn it or kill it or whatever. So now Bright Eyes and Officer Drunky are responsible for luring the thing away and they do a pretty good job of it. Now, when they do this, there's this scene where they jump in this truck and they take off. And then the big ass creature, the daddy creature, does this like roll. Like that's how it moves, right? So it's rolling with its tentacles. This is one after the other. It's like this big ball of tentacles, which
I've seen something like this before. It's dope.
It was pretty impressive. I was like, oh, dude, that's pretty badass. So they get to the salvage yard, they lure it into the pit, and then there's a bunch of like gas barrels down there. They take the flare gun and they shoot it. It lights it on fire. The thing fucking burns out. And
she makes a comment right there about, which is the same or similar line in Aliens to instead, she says, "Leave her alone, you cunt."
Yeah,
which is very Irish.
What are you waiting for? Yeah. So, they've successfully thwarted the monster. All is saved, and you know they're just watching this thing burn. The sun comes up in the morning, and they're walking back to the pub, and everybody's just kind of like, "Fuck, bro!" Like. Hung over and like what happened and we almost died.
The pub's
and like
been some on people fire.
Did die. The pub is on fire and like where's Dr. Smith? You know, like it was a lot for sure. And you think it's, you know, happily ever after, but then what ends up happening is you know, they pan over to the beach and that area where Patty was looking at the cove, and we see all those eggs are still there, ready to hatch, and then roll credits.
Perfect lineup for a sequel.
Yeah, I don't think they did one though.
No, they didn't. John Wright, come back. Kevin Lane, I want to know. Like, this is good.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at it. And it was funny too, because that the line where she delivered, you know, the alien line, it was, she's driving this big like yellow tractor, so it looked almost like Ripley in the forklift.
Aliens.
Yeah, I mean, they're both forklifts, except one was like a suit of armor in Aliens, and this one is an actual, like, you know, dump truck, the tractor trailer type thing. So definitely lots of callbacks to lots of horror movies before its time, and I like when they do that. You know, it's indicative of you know, people who are fans of the genre and want to pay homage to the stuff that's come before it, and you know, just have a good time.
Well, I mean, the whole movie was well acted. The pace was good, even though that there's that, you know, dark, slow beginning, which I could see a little bias people to sleep. But outside of that, like, it's a great setup. It's a great movie. I definitely recommend it for everybody. We left out a few things here and there, which I think make it better for a watch for someone who wants to check it out for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, the intent isn't to, like, tell you everything that happened so you don't have to go watch it, but hopefully enough to, like, interest you so you can go watch it.
And you should. This one is one you should watch. It was a very pleasant surprise.
This one's on Shudder, so catch it if you can. But yeah, dude, I had a good time. I'm bummed Matt wasn't able to make it tonight because
absolutely, this is all live.
Yeah, this was his pick, and this was a good one, and I'm sure he would have enjoyed watching it with us.
Yeah,
all good.
That's a good one.
Yeah, man.
Nice. All right, man. Well, it was great catching up with you on this one, and looking forward to checking out the next.
All right, man. I'll see you on the next one.
All right, late.
Peace.
Ignorant buttocks.